Hey, this morning it's my privilege and honor to introduce to you Jamie Miller. Jamie is Jim Fink's daughter and also an employee, a staff member now with Messenger International. And really am excited about her coming, sharing about her involvement in short-term missions that changed her life, and then the opportunities that that she can share with us too. So Jamie, with no further ado, God bless you.
Thank you. Well, I wasn't really nervous until there was a podium. Do you know what I mean? I was like, wait a minute. No, I need it, but it's kind of nervous. And by the way, I have old school index cards, so yeah, I'm that old. Good morning, how are you? Yeah, I talk with my hands a lot, so we need a mic. If I have things hanging from here, there'll be a disaster up here, so. My name is Jamie Miller. I'm married to the handsome and talented Michael Miller. That was a good time to say amen. Okay. All right. Yes. Yes. I am working for International Messengers. I'm the director of short-term ministries. But you know, I am not a pastor. I never went to seminary. I'm going to tell you my story. But the only reason I'm qualified to stand here and talk to you is the grace of God and because I said yes. Okay, so let's get that out of the way in case I make a mistake. Okay, so yes, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. I'm going to start with a little pop quiz. Y'all ready? Y'all up? I live in the South now, so I say y'all, but I am from Pittsburgh. And I'm very energetic, so if you're not awake, you're about to be. Okay, so how many people love Jesus? Go ahead and raise your hand. Oh, now we're awake. All right. How many of you have a changed life because of Jesus? Okay, I love it. How many of you speak English? Oh, well, let me tell you, you're qualified to go. Okay, so let's get that out of the way. I am here to encourage you. I am here to talk to you about changed lives. But brace yourselves because I'm going to ask you to go. So just be ready. All right, first slide, please. So we are a 30-year, by the grace of God, organization in all these different countries. It's a little bit fuzzy, but started in Eastern Europe before the wall fell. So when communism was prevalent in Poland, Romania, we would smuggle Bibles in to do Bible studies with people living under the communist rule. And, you know, you can leave it there, brother. Sometimes when I tell people, you know, where are you going on your missions trip? Poland. They're like, you're not going to Honduras? You're not going to Nicaragua? Well, people in Poland don't need Jesus? Huh? You know. And so we started there, and we started doing what are these English camps, okay? So when I asked you if you spoke English, there's a point to my question. These camps that we do are usually about 10 days, and they create a real context for you to have a conversation about Jesus, okay? Because you're going to lead a Bible study in English, okay? And then you're going to teach a little English class, and everybody's squirming, but that's okay. Just stay with me for a minute. People who come to these camps know it's being put on by Christians. They know that they're going to read the Bible, but they get excited because they want to practice or learn English. Okay? So the draw here is that we all speak English. That's why you're qualified. And I cannot teach a lick of grammar, but I do it every year, and it works out. So again, just stay with me. When you go on a trip, we're in these different countries. Typically, you know, your morning starts, you get up, you have a good old team meeting, there's some prayer and worship because we need to get fired up before we go out and preach the gospel. And then you're going to go have a corporate worship with all these people who speak these funny languages. And Polish, by the way, they need to buy a vowel because I'm going to tell you, every word has like 16 consonants and then a vowel and you don't know what to say, but you'll get through it. You do a corporate worship, and then you do these Bible studies, and there's a translator there because whatever language we're working with, it's real important that they understand what we're reading, and it's real important that the questions that they ask that we get to address. So that's where the good stuff happens. You know, you're reading stories about Peter stepping out of the boat. You're reading stories about Jesus speaking to the crowd in the Beatitudes. And these people who come want to learn English, but by golly darn it, they're not only hearing and speaking English, they're reading the Bible. So it's a little bit of a stealth mode evangelism, and if that offends anyone, I'm sorry, but it's a way, you know, to get people interested in this stuff. where your story comes in. So all of us have a story with the Lord. And when I was preparing for this, I was talking to my handsome and talented husband, and I said, you know, what would you do? And he says, well, you can't sell a product that you don't believe in. And you believe in this, so why don't you tell him why? So I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. I did grow up in Pittsburgh, so I'm sort of a local. I moved away when I was 18 and have been kind of all over, but my childhood was not in a Christian home. My childhood was good. I am grateful. But, you know, my parents divorced at a young age, and it wrecked me. You know, some of you sitting here know that, or some of you may have children going through that. And, you know, we didn't have the Lord, and so it was really hard. And I'm the oldest, and so, you know, I instantly felt this responsibility, you know, and I'm going to take care of my siblings and things like that. And so I kind of grew up in a day, and pretty early on, I started making real bad choices, okay, and I'll keep it all PG-13 for the ages that might be in here, but, you know, it was bad choices about my sexuality, about drinking, and, but I knew it wasn't right. So I felt like, I know this isn't right. And then what sets in? What does the enemy use? Shame. Okay? So then, you know, I'm just thinking, if anybody knows what I'm doing, wow. You know, I'm a terrible person. And so I turned that into a little cycle. So it would be feeling rejected, feeling wounded, feeling unloved, to acting out, okay, to feel better. Then shame, and then work really hard at school. Succeed in everything you do, because if they see successful Jamie, and they see me all put together, then they can't know how bad I am, and then I'll feel better. And so it's a cycle, y'all, and maybe you have cycles that are same but different, but it's the enemy uses that. You know, he wants to keep you in that round roller coaster, just spinning around. So I went off to college in Washington, D.C., which was a great experience for me to... I worked on Capitol Hill, I was successful, but boy, there was a lot to get involved in there, okay? And y'all know what I'm talking about. So that just continued. Got married out of college to a guy who was in the Navy, and, you know, one of those we should have never gotten married things. Both didn't know the Lord, both just were in a spiral of awful things and continued to do those things and ended up divorced. Now, about at that time, you know, my father had come to know the Lord, and he started talking to me about the Lord. I knew you were going to get one in there. But look, I'm going to be honest with you, and he knows all this, you know, I had unforgiveness for him. I really did. And it was very destructive in our relationship, mainly for me. And for whatever relationship the Lord was trying to build with me, because that wall was just there, right? So my brother then came to the Lord, and my brother and I are extremely close. He's 4 years younger. You know what he did, y'all? He went to Walmart, he bought a Bible, and he sat in a parking lot at his construction truck, and he wrote throughout that Bible to me. He took his favorite passages and wrote personal notes to me and filled it, went an hour, and he mailed it to me. And I started reading the Bible because I wanted to see what he wrote to me. And he would say, this passage means this to me. Do you remember when we were kids? This is what Jesus was talking about. And it was all a relational connection that God used to get me to soften my heart and to come to him, okay? So I'm going to this Catholic church, doing all the good religious things. I was a good religious girl. Partying Saturday night, hoping I didn't stink like booze. I'm sorry, I'm being real. Love me. Coming into church and doing what I should be doing. Friend of mine says, I'm playing drums. I have this thing for drums, right? I'm playing drums at this church. Why don't you come to my church and hear me? So, okay. No, I'm going to go to my church. You guys are weird. You're a cult. You know, anything that wasn't the Catholic Church, a cult. So I'm going to tell you, I was supposed to turn right to go to my church and left to go to his, and I made a left. Got to this little church plant at the time, little church plant, church in a box kind of thing at a high school. And I got in, and of course I sat in the last row because that's what you do when you're filled with shame. And you don't want anybody to know you're there. And they started playing, and, okay. You know that song, Chris Tomlin, How Great Is Our God? So I was playing, and I just felt Lord rush over me. And I didn't know what it was. And I'm crying, and I am just snotting and sobbing. I don't know what's going on, but the music and the people are praising and singing, and I don't know what's going on. And this guy and his wife come across the aisle. If you ever feel compelled to go across the aisle, do it. Okay? Came across the aisle. He said, "Are you okay?" And for the first time I was honest, I said, "I'm not. I'm not okay." And he said, "Why don't you sit with us?" So I did. And he took me to meet a young adults pastor. I was a young 30 at the time. And I started going to this young adults meeting, and I met God. I met Jesus. Started to learn about grace, and I forgave my father. And I'm going to tell you something, miracles we talked about. Not only were we in the same church right now speaking, my dad baptized me as an adult. He can redeem anything, anything. He can redeem anything, anything. And I was on fire. I was excited, you know. I still got to be honest with you. I didn't really understand the grace thing still. I still kind of was like figuring out, what does it mean when I have done all these things? And I know you died on the cross for me, but what's going on? Yeah. Making me cry over here, sister. I love you. Okay. They had a trip, a missions trip, for the young adults to Poland. And so I went up to the pastor and I said, I think I'm a mess still, and I'm a hot mess, but I think I want to go. And he was like, go. I was like, He's like, no, you need to go. You're a mess. You need to go. And I went on my first trip. I'm going to tell you a little story, a couple stories. The cool thing that I got to do was go back over the 25 journals I've had since I started doing these trips and read them. And bringing all those memories together was a big thing. We're on this train, and we landed in Berlin, and we had to take a train into Poznań, Poland. Poznań is a very thriving university city, young people there. We were going to do a English camp, teach young adults conversational English. So we pull into Berlin, we end up missing the train. So now we're in the Berlin train station, we gotta wait for a night train. Now all the movies that you've seen about like the horrible things that happened in Germany and World War II, at night in the Berlin train station looked like that. Pickpockets, just shady people, and we're all sitting there, 12 of us, trying to figure out what we're gonna do. So our pastor at the time is like, all right, here's the deal. We can pay with a credit card. We're going to go to the border of Germany and Poland on this train, and we're going to pay with a credit card to get on the next train going to Poland and overnight. Okay. So we get up to the border, and I'm not kidding you. You know, the enemy was there. The fog's rolling in on this platform, and we're standing there. And we go to pay to get on the train to go into Poland, and the guy starts screaming at us in German. German is an angry language anyway when you hear it, right? And all I could hear was like, I'm going to shoot you. I'm sure he wasn't saying that, but it sounded that way to me. So he's screaming at us, and no credit, no credit, no credit. Oh, so we can't pay with credit. He says, euro, euro, euro. We didn't have any money exchanged yet. So here we are on a platform at 2 in the morning between Germany and Poland. Along comes this little guy, young man, probably 25. He says, I heard you speaking English. I speak English. Can I help you? Oh, yes, please. We need to get on this train. We're terribly afraid. We need to get on this train. He says, okay, I have euro. If you give me U.S. dollars for euro, I'll pay on your way. Okay. So here's how God works. You know, this is my first missions trip. I don't know what's going on. I don't feel like I should be there. What I saw was, three of the people in our group, three of these young adults, went over and started talking to him. We rode for 3 hours with him, and they shared the gospel the whole way. Okay, he's from Belarus. He was a medical student. He grew up in a Catholic church, had no relationship, didn't understand why Christ died for him. And by the end of the trip, he prayed and accepted Christ. So right there, I'm, you know, not even a day into the journey, and I had this privilege of seeing God use what the enemy meant for bad, you know? The enemy was like, I'm going to have you sit on this train all night on this platform. Be scared. You're going to get things stolen. Things are going to be awful. And no, we got to watch this. It's a privilege. Can we go to some slides? I'm going to show you some pictures. I'm watching the time, don't worry. Can you go to the next one? Okay, so this is at one of the Polish camps. At night, you have a lot of time for fellowship. We do a bonfire, we do s'mores. S'mores is the international language of love, by the way. Okay, I can assure you. You teach someone from another country how to make a s'more, you have a friend for life, all right? As you see, there's a screen, our worship band. We got the worships in Polish and English. And if you've never been in a room and heard people worshiping in their native tongue, it is the most beautiful sound you'll ever hear. You know, and I remember the first time thinking, I wish I knew what they were saying. I wish I knew what they were saying, you know. And then I'm like, God knows. God knows. And one day in heaven, I'm going to be able to sing with them. Yay. Next slide. Okay, this is Edwina. You see this precious little gray hair saint right here? So we were at a youth mission trip. These are all college students. So as sometimes happens with youth, you have a little what we call purpling. The blue and the pink might try to mix. Okay, yeah. So you know, you're all on your guard for it. You want to encourage them to not purple. So the two couples that she's sitting between, the young man and the young woman, were getting a little feely during card games. Edwina's the sweet little saint, leans over to me, says, I'm going to take care of this. She plopped down in the middle and played cards with them till 3 a.m. So if you're sitting here, I'm too old, I couldn't possibly, oh no. And you know that Magdalena, who's sitting next to her with the long hair, stuck by that woman's side for the rest of the trip. And she could not get enough of Edwina. And Magdalena and that gentleman just got married this year. And that was 2015. God works. Next slide. This is Lester. I'm going to try to get through this without crying. Lester Popek. Lester was born paralyzed. He lived his life in a wheelchair. And extremely intelligent. Spoke 7 languages. 7. Just did nothing but study and learn all the time, but knew nothing about Jesus. He came to 3 summer camps in a row. I spent 3 summers with him. And he would sit and go through the Bible studies. He would go to his English classes. He would have the most intellectual conversations with me. And y'all, I couldn't keep up, I promise you. I'm like, Lester, you need to get away. I can't handle this. He is a smart man. Last year, he was baptized. Last year. Again, 5 years later. God's timing, right? But something kept him coming every year, okay? Something kept us all witnessing to him every year. And then this young man gets baptized in his wheelchair in a lake in Poland. Beautiful story. Next slide. Another. This is Marta and Waltek. Waltek. They always sound so mean names. Waltek. Martin Waltek, that young lady had purple hair in 2012 when she started coming to the camps. She dressed all black, goth, big eyeliner. She was a tough girl, didn't know the Lord. She kept coming to the camps. And every year, she was pretty aggressive about not wanting to be there. And we just loved on her every year. Those two got married. They found the Lord first, they got married, and she just had a miracle baby. Yes. And for those of us who are married, if you've never seen how God works humility in a marriage, that young man would carry her up and down the stairs because in Poland there's really no elevators. And he would carry her everywhere. And watching them come to the Lord after all this time and then God give them their miracle baby. So to go and be able to watch God work and to know that you are part of the seed that he worked through you to plant, it's one of the biggest blessings you're ever going to get. Next slide. Egypt. We have some Christian terrorists, and I got to say that, in Egypt. We've got a group of Egyptian and Turkish missionaries who are taking that country. They are doing things in Egypt. And I had to be careful about close-up shots here because this is on social media, okay? I won't say names. It's that dangerous for them. We have had 3 teams in Egypt since the beginning of the year doing English camps. Okay? So this is this last one was about sexual purity and shame. So the Muslim culture is a shame culture. One of the worst things you can do is bring shame to your family through anything that you do. But the youngins are into a lot of online stuff right now. And no one knows they're doing it, so they're not shaming anyone. So this is a group of women at a Bible study about sexual purity. Next slide. There's the guys. The guys there, they were in their own little study at the same time. This is in Alexandria, Egypt, which is about 2 hours from Cairo. Next slide. We have the Children's Village in Uganda. Uganda is right on the border of where the Sudan wars happened. So there's about 75 kids there that their parents were either killed in the war or killed after. And these kids had nowhere to go, started this village. Check this out. Those little structures you see are corn silos. God's grace, one of our short-term missionaries, just like me, he's a farmer and knew the company that makes those corn silos. Got them over there. They live in them. And it's wonderful. They have places to live. There's a school for them there. They learn about Jesus. Megan Mallon is our head missionary there. She says she has 75 kids that look nothing like her. She's a stormtrooper down there. In Uganda, we have sports camps. So one of the greatest things you can do with a young guy is play a lot of soccer with him. I'm not really fond of the soccer camps, I'm going to be honest, because I don't like to run. But if somebody in here is like, I'm a good soccer player, I like sports, you can go do that. Next slide. This is Rozitka. This is Rozitka in Hungary. Rozitka comes to camp every year to an English camp. It's a camp for young adults. She comes, and she has a blast. We are praying for her. She still doesn't know the Lord. She still hasn't accepted Christ as her Savior. But she's there every year, and she says, because I love how you love me. That's what she says. Next slide. These are the young ladies from the Hungary camp. Four of them did not know Christ. They came to a camp. 5 months later, they were all baptized. These girls, oh, man. Every Friday night, we do a Bible study with them online by Zoom. You know, they take their Friday night in Hungary, and they spend it with us on a Bible study. When he said, go and make disciples of nations, think about that. Okay? Yes, evangelism is part of that, but he said, make disciples. These are disciples. And our prayer is these young ladies are going to go make disciples of their peers, that they're going to go to other nations and make disciples. Next slide. I might be at the end. Okay. So, in 2 Samuel 18, bear with me. David, 2 Samuel 24. Pastor John's like, that's not right. There's a pestilence, right? And so this guy Gad tells David, go build an altar and make an offering to relieve us of this pestilence. So David goes to this guy and he says, hey, can I buy your threshing floor to build an altar? And he says, I'm going to give it to you, King David. You're the king. I'm going to give you it. And he says, no, I will not sacrifice to the Lord that which costs me nothing. These are expensive ways to worship to go on these trips. Think about that. It is expensive for you. I'm not talking about money. You're going to love harder than you ever have. You're going to be on the edge of your seat clinging to Christ with your fingernails every moment. You're going to be like, I don't know why I decided to do this. This is nuts. And you're going to be a little bit afraid, but you will worship him so expensively, and it will bless you. It will bless you. One of the trips, am I boring you? You guys okay? Are we with me? Give me some. Okay. love you. One of the trips, I was, it's like the eighth trip or something. I've been on like 13 trips, so I'm trying to keep them all straight. I'm on this trip going, getting it ready, and they said, okay, so we want you to lead a Bible study for young women. I'm like, yes, I'm into that. Let's do it. I'm excited. I can relate to them. I get there, and this is a story about pride and how God breaks you. And they said, wow, we don't have anybody to do the children's ministry. Could you do it for like the 8 and 9-year-olds? And I'm not going to lie. I was like, yeah. And man, I was angry at God. I was like, I did not come here to babysit. I did not come here for this. I came here to do what I was going to do. Do you hear all that mess that's in there? Do you hear what I said? So I spent the whole week with 5 little boys, Polish boys. I know the one boy still today. His name is Adam. You know why? Because I said his name 800 times every 10 minutes. Okay? He was bad. He was a bad boy. And they just wore me out. I didn't get time to fellowship. I was jealous of other people who had that time because I was babysitting. I didn't do what I wanted to do. And I spent the time angry at God and full of pride. I got to about the 5th of the 10th day, and I started to get really tired of myself. Like, what is going on with me? I just feel bad. I feel awful. What's up? And just then, in God's grace, this woman comes up to me, and she says, "You're watching my son, Adam." Oh, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I am so very glad to meet you. It is awesome to meet you. I'm going to kill your child. No, I didn't say that. Thought about it. She said, "You know, we've been fasting and praying about our marriage. And we're how she said it in a broken English was, we're on the verge of a divorce." And she said, "But this camp has saved our marriage. And thank you for watching our sons so we can be in these classes." And I'm going to tell you what, I mean, I was on my knees, you know. I mean, God's grace to me in that lesson, I mean, he could have let me sit in that for a little more. It's expensive worship. You're gonna be called to do things that will make you a little bit, woo. Let's talk about some realities for it. So one of the first things that people ask me is it safe? Is it safe? Nothing is safe in sharing the gospel, I'm gonna be honest with you, because the enemy opposes it. The enemy hates me standing here. The enemy hates you hearing this, and he hates that some of you are feeling the, maybe I should look into this, maybe I should go. He hates that. You need to know. What we talk about is we take calculated risk for the gospel, okay? We know we have a lot of real-life security connections that we use as an agency to know about places we're sending people, to know about where people are going. But no, we can't guarantee your safety, but you know what? If you're saying yes and you're going, God is going to use that, and he will take care of you one way or the other, okay? That's one of them. The other thing that I hear is people say, "Oh, I don't know if I have the money. I don't know if I could do that." Wow. Okay, so money is the root of it, right? That's a tough one. My first trip was $1,650 to go. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get the money for this. I really can't go. The end of that first week, when I decided I think I want to go, I don't know how I'm going to pay for it, I got a paycheck that was doubled from my employer. I'm like, okay. So I called my boss and said, you know, and he says, okay, it's a mistake. Everybody gets a bonus and their quarterly bonus comes, but you're new to the company, so you shouldn't have gotten one. Don't spend it. Put it aside. We're going to need you to give that back. I said, okay. I mean, you know, I'm going to do that. So I put it aside. 2 days later, he called me and said, you know what? Just keep it. He said, you know, you're going to be a great employee. We really have faith in you. Just keep it. It was $44 less of what I needed to go. Okay? If you want to go, God is going to provide. You ask him. You pray. You get people praying around you. He will provide. If he says in Philippians 4, he's going to supply all your needs, when you say, I'm going to go spread the gospel, why wouldn't he provide it? Why wouldn't he? He's that good. He's that good. And then there are people sitting here, someone's going to come to you and say, I want to go on this trip, will you support me? And you're going to say yes. And you know, there's another story where David goes out to fight, and he takes a certain group of men, and he leaves 200 men by the brook because they're tired. They go out and they fight, and they get spoil, and they bring it back. And the guys who fought are like, that's not fair. It's not fair. They didn't fight. And David said, they will share alike. Those who guarded the baggage will share alike. For those of you who are going to pray and support somebody financially to go, you share in the spoil. You share. The blessings are yours, yes. So as you're sitting here and you're feeling, I may want to go. And as you're sitting here feeling, I might not be able to go, but I sure can be someone's prayer partner. I can get on my knees for them the whole time that they're there. And I can give so they can go. You will share alike, I promise you. Um, There's a lot of reasons you're going to sit here. I talked about this to my husband and my stepmom this morning. By the way, I love you, Sharon. This woman is such a gift. You know, like, you hear about step parents and their whores. I have an amazing stepmother, okay? God is so good to me. And that's a story that everything in your story can be used when you go do this. That's what's so cool. You are going to get an opportunity to relate to somebody about what's going on in your life, the fires you're walking through. You're going to talk to somebody about that, and they're going to go, my God, it's just like me. I don't understand. And you're going to say, I can tell you about it because Jesus is getting me through it. And do you know Jesus? And he wants to know you. Every fire you're walking through will be used. You are qualified to go. So most answers I get are, I'm going to pray about going. If I'm blunt, which I am, I'm going to think, why? Do you think God's up there? No, I don't want you to go. You should pray. No. What I want you to pray about is pray about why not. Okay? Think about why you couldn't go and ask God. Show me that. Is it my flesh? Is it something going on? Or could I go? God wants us to go and make disciples of the nations, but he also wants to heal us and use us, and he really likes to do that kind of all at the same time. Okay? Let's say a prayer.
Hey, how do you find out about the...
Oh. Sorry, I get so excited, I forget about all that. Okay, so here's what we got going on. Go to the slide. There's some dates. It's hard to see. We've got two camps in the Ukraine this summer. One is for youth and one is a family camp. So if you're sitting here saying, I have a kid and I'd love to bring him, you should. Okay? There's nothing more powerful than your son or daughter watching you 24/7 worship and work for the Lord. And they get to spend time with those kids. They get to worship and spread the gospel as well. We've got Ukraine. We've got a discipleship camp in Lebanon. Super powerful. Next slide. Egypt, look at all those opportunities. We have a translator camps coming up. I talked to a girl yesterday afternoon about going, and this is at the end of May. We've got a VBS. If you really are having a heart for that kids thing, they're doing a VBS. We got a sports camp. Super important. All these young men come, and they get to play sports with you, but more importantly, you get to share Jesus. A media camp. If anyone is, like, so gifted about social media and videos and that kind of stuff that I don't know about, there's a real interest for that over there. And that's what we're using, too, as a draw to get people to come and learn about Christ. Another youth, and then a marriage and family camp. That's real rich. There are some broken marriages everywhere. And if you feel called and you want to go to one of these, those are the dates. I'm going to be in the hall after with lots of information. Thank you. I get so excited. I forget. I'll be there to talk if you need anything. But again, I'm so grateful. First of all, your church is amazing, y'all. I cried through every song. You have a real gift here, and I'm just so grateful that I was allowed to be here. Thank you, Jesus and Pastor. And also, just thanks for listening, and please, be in prayer. He said, make disciples. Let's do it. And Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for life stories, Lord, that you change. Thank you that you want to heal us, but you want to use us too. And those things are not divided in your kingdom, Lord. The healing and using us come together in such a powerful way. Thank you for your spirit that does that. Thank you for how you're going to provide for this. Lord, if there are hearts that feel moved, I pray that you would keep firing them up for this, Lord. Thank you for the nations. Thank you for the opportunity to spread your word and how good you are. And Lord, I also pray for this community, Lord, that we would just walk out these doors and just be a light in the darkness. You know, you are the God of this city. You're a God of this whole kingdom, and we are so privileged to be part of your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. I don't know anybody involved in media in this church, do you? Something re-media, maybe? I don't know. Okay. Father, thank you for this day, for the opportunities, oh God. I just thank you for your spirit that does move upon our hearts. And I know, Lord God, that as long as we're open, long as we're seeking, long as we're willing, Lord God, you will lead and guide and direct. And so I just pray that for everyone here, Lord God, that you indeed can change our lives and really use us as instruments to change others. So thank you for Jamie and for her coming today, Lord God. Just bless her and her efforts, her work, oh God, with this organization. And Lord, that your gospel, your truth, the good news of Jesus would be spread throughout all the world. For we pray it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, God bless you. Make sure you stop at the table on the way out.